Talking with David and Sam Barella, two local DJs. You've both come from different backgrounds. You're both in New York. You're both working as DJs. What's the story between each of you as to how you got here and how you met? David?
I started DJing when I was 13, many years ago. I hooked up with Sam Barella off of a DJ message board, actually. We just started chatting and decided to throw a few parties locally. Very successful parties, actually, here in Queens. And we do lots of fashion shows, gallery openings, clubs, lounges, bars throughout the city and stuff. So
you've been in New York all your life. Sam Barella, you haven't. What was your story in coming here?
I am actually a native from El Salvador, and I came here in 1988 as a political refugee. I started with music basically from just going to the raves back in the early 90s. And once I went to school in upstate New York, I ended up doing a radio show. Which was one of the first electronic radio shows in the station.
So the work on the radio came before you were mixing and DJing in clubs?
Yeah, that's basically how I learned how to mix. Because I started up with all my tapes and my CDs, a little collection that I had gotten from the rave scene, and then I gradually moved on to records. And I found that, you know, DJing with records is so exciting and also enhances the performance aspect of it. And I started playing around with it more. I got more familiarized with it. And then once I left school, got myself turntables. I met up with David and we started doing parties and playing around in New York City.
To DJ in New York City must be a dream, or it must be a passion. What is hot at the moment? What is the type of music? What is the style that is really working at the moment?
You know, it really depends on where you are in New York City and who you're playing with, or who you're playing for, rather. It could be anything from, you know, house to electro, which is actually a lot in the scene right now, to like a rebirth of old school hip hop and soul and funk and a lot of classics, which, you know, in a way, kind of music always reinvents itself, but it always goes back to where it originally came from.
It really depends on where you are in New York City and who you're playing for. You can go, the music is as diverse as New York itself. The people are so diverse. On any given night, you can have them going nuts over old school Latin, salsa, merengue, stuff like that. And then on another night, it's all about house. It's moving forward. However, it seems like it's really about retro, and it means that it's two things going on. Either there's not enough good music coming out, or there was so much good music coming out in a specific era around the 80s, people didn't appreciate it as much then, or there was so much out there, people just didn't hear it as much, and everybody's just bringing that stuff out again.
Now you were working at that time. You were DJing in the 80s. Is that the best time? Is that the time you treasure most for music in New York?
I do, because the DJ was the DJ back then. It was about two turntables, and you played really for a dancing crowd all the time. It was more about a love for the music.
So what is it now? What's it changed in that case into?
People would just go, any age, any race. Alcohol didn't matter. You didn't have to be drinking or anything. It was all about music. It was all about loving a certain genre, certain music. Now it's more about to be seen, and it's more about like meeting people and what's hot, jumping on trends without really knowing what the trend is about.
Is appearance a matter? I mean, do people still have to look the business to get in? Because I remember when I was here in the, gosh, late 80s, and there was times you'd go into clubs and you had to have a look before you could even get a look at the doorman. Is it that still the case?
Oh, absolutely. And if anything, it's more severe. You know, I guess in a way, music and fashion have always kind of gone hand in hand. And absolutely, in the clubs, it's still more about, you know, if you don't look right to the doorman, or, you know, if you're not wearing the most fashionable clothes, you're definitely going to get turned down.
What about between DJs? Is it quite competitive for that? I mean, to get a residency or a gig in a club, do you have to watch your back, I suppose? You're going to get stabbed in the back, or is there a lot of competition to get those gigs?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the competition to DJ in New York is a lot more severe than anywhere else in the world, I imagine. because there's, you know, anybody, even sometimes with an iPod, can go and call themselves a DJ. And it's not necessarily, you know, your skills or, you know, the caliber of music that you're playing, but more so who you know. It's really a connection, you know. Having the right connections will land you, you know, the most fabulous gig, as opposed to, you know, the other DJ who has better records, better skills, overall, you know, that's just how it works.
I mean, as far as DJ skills go, I've seen people in big clubs who train wreck the whole night as far as their beat matching and things like that. I think it's about who you know. Especially now more than ever in the club scene in New York City. To me, a complete DJ should know how to mix, should know how to scratch, should know how to do the whole gamut.
Now, when you're playing, how much is what you feel, and how much is what the crowd wants, and where do you draw the line? How much is what you want to do, and how much is what they want?
Well, you know, it's funny because the trance groovers always say, you know, you tend to play, you know, for yourself, but you know, at the same time, it's like a lot of it, yes, depending on the venue that you're playing, and depending who you're playing for, yes, you know, it's really important as a DJ to make sure that you play for the crowd, but at the same time, you can't compromise what, you know, what you wouldn't be playing a song that you normally wouldn't play under any circumstance because you don't dig it, you know, just to satisfy somebody's requests. You can keep them happy in other ways, but for example, when I'm playing, you know, it's for the vibe, if I'm getting a good response from the crowd, if I want to keep them dancing, which is the goal, you know, and have a good time, then I'm going to do a combination of both. I'm always going to be playing for them, but also playing things that I like. For me, you know, I'll always, you know, I'm always going to be playing my music, because if not, then it's not me behind the decks, it's somebody else.
Now, what about the technology? You mentioned the technology before, David. The vinyl. I mean, it was always vinyl before. Then it went to sort of CD. Now it's gone back to vinyl. What's the trend? Where what's happened?
I think why it's going back to vinyl has to do with more of the novelty of it, rather than the way we used to do it. People are using vinyl because it's the cool thing to do. I don't see DJs doing the same things that they did back when, cutting records, beat matching the way they without a beat counter on their mixer, doing it the old school way.
So you would always use turntables. Would you use CDs as well?
Or? I use both CDs and turntables. CDs for songs that, I mean, sometimes when you're doing like an 80s set or something like that, you can't get all the 12 inches for those songs sometimes on vinyl. And sometimes you don't want there to be long breaks in the songs. You just want to cut in and out. So CDs work well that way. For any kind of dance music, I'd use vinyl. And to scratch, I use vinyl, obviously.
Now, you've both been working a while. It can't all be good news. There must be one embarrassing, heart-stopping, terrible moment that you can remember it in your DJ history. Sambarella.
I mean, there's been plenty. I imagine, you know, sometimes I might have been in the middle of a party and gone to play the next track, and instead of lowering the crossfader to the track that, you know, I'm about to play, I instead kill it and it's dead noise, and everybody turns around and looks at you, and then you panic, you know.
David?
I've probably done everything wrong you can think of. The one that sticks in my mind right now is one time I hooked something up. This is back a long time ago on my system, and the entire right side collapsed. So I was playing the entire gig with just the left side, and that, as you know, on many records where you've got panning going on, you'd lose vocals, you'd lose percussion, you'd lose all this stuff. So, and then of course one side of the room was loud and the other side was silent, and it was a big disaster.
David, you've also been rightly proud of something recently. You did quite a big charity gig, I believe.
Yeah, I did a charity gig where I wanted to DJ nonstop and raise as much money as I could for four different organizations that service leukemia patients, cancer patients in the New York area, and St. Jude Children's Hospital, which is pretty big here in the U.S. I was able to DJ for 72 hours straight, so I got to use a lot of my records and had a lot of fun doing it. We probably had enough people coming in and out, whereas, you know, at any given time you were listening to a completely different genre, anybody coming in at a certain time could be listening to reggae. I played like every kind of music style I could possibly.
That 72 hours, I mean, that's about 3 days, right? So, I mean, right. Without stopping?
Without stopping, yeah. I started on a Friday morning and finished on a Monday morning, and without stopping. During the night, I played a couple songs that were long. I played some Miles Davis and some longer tracks like that, just to give myself a little bit of a break. But I kept it going, and music never stopped. And we had lots of people there hanging out, and it was a lot of fun. So.
Just finally, where do you see yourselves in 5 years' time, Samarella?
Hopefully, you know, flying around the world, doing some gigs here and there, you know, getting to meet other people, playing our music out and getting a good reception, a good vibe. I mean, it's not necessarily that, you know, I see myself playing on the radio or anything like that. If anything, it'd be nice to be on the ground and keep it on the ground. And hopefully maybe, you know, 20 years down the road after that, you know, somebody might see a Groove Gallery record and be like, wow, did you hear these guys? You know, that's awesome. And that would eventually be how I see ourselves.
Same here. As far as the production side of things and the music troupe, seeing some success in that. And I'll never be able to get away from music, so hopefully be involved somehow, DJing or maybe backing up a band, scratching, something like that. I'll probably always do it as long as I can before they start making fun of me for being too old.